No? Yes, good, okay. What that is that's a bad translation of what's called the Bardo Todol. So it's the book of liberating in the in-between state. And there are all sorts of in-between states. There's kind of the moment between sort of being asleep and being awake. Yeah. There's the most famous one is the moment just after death. Yeah. Just after death. There's an opportunity there for, well, what in modern psychological terms is called a pattern interrupt. Yeah. What happens is when something quite different happens in our life than has happened normally, it can blow us out of our habitual responses. You get this a lot when people are bereaved, actually. That's the biggest pattern interrupt most of us experience. Or sometimes when a relationship breaks up. And we just go, the hell am I living the life I'm living? You know, things just take a completely different level of significance. You know, things we thought were really important, we just sort of see as being utterly shallow and pointless. Yeah. You must have all had an experience something like that to be here this evening. It might take you 20 years to recognise what it was, and there might not be any particular individual event. But things happen. Sometimes there's like big things happen in our lives, and that's enough for us to sort of go to come at things from a different angle. Yeah, that pattern interrupt. So those gaps, as it were, those exit ramps. They're a bit of a gamble, really. You can't really, you know, we have to try a bit harder to get off the exit ramp each. You know, I'm saying you can sort of see this as going around covering three lives, as it were. First two cover a past life, the next eight cover the present life, the other two cover a future life, as it were. Yeah. So you've got a couple of exit opportunities, but it's a bit of a gamble, isn't it? Waiting and to see if you can sort it out in the moment of death. You know, it might come a bit. You know, if you get in front of a tram or something, it might come a bit sooner than you planned. So we've got to work to try and get off now, and the turn off for nirvana, baby, is between. Get this right, between feeling and craving. Yeah. So this is where the mechanical process of kind of like we come into experience of things, we have an experience of something, and we find it painful, pleasant, or neutral. That's when we have a choice as to what to do next. Yeah. So we can choose there. Now, and that's what's called, that space there is usually called the gap. Yeah? And in some illustrations of the way, we haven't got it on the ones we're using this time, you'll sometimes see something coming off there. And sometimes the Buddha who's pointing at the moon, on this one, pointing at the bunny in the moon, he's sometimes pointing at that gap, because that's the working ground of the spiritual life, it's sometimes talked of. In a way, it's the working ground of the truly human life. Yeah? It's between the arrow in the eye and the accepting a drink from the babe. Yeah? Having said that, for most of us, a lot of the time, the whole sort of sequence of kind of having an experience which we see as being pleasurable or painful, and having that emotional response of yes, I want more of that, or no, I don't want any more of that, that happens so quickly that we haven't really got much of a chance to get in that gap, as it were. So a lot of the time, the working ground, we're trying to work back from that. So we experience the craving for another 14th biscuit, or the aversion to, I don't know, fill in the blank as you see fit. Yeah, and where we have to work is at the stage of trying not to grasp, trying not to push away. Yeah. So there's a story about this from there's a story about one of them, an order member who I can't quite fit this together actually, because the order member, I think this about, it's about writing a book, but I don't think the person concerned's ever written a book, so maybe it's about somebody else. But anyway, the basic story holds true, whatever. He was staying somewhere in America at the time, staying in a friend's apartment, and he kept noticing that there he was trying to write his book, and he kept noticing, you know, he sort of thought, found himself eating an ice lolly standing in the garden. And he thought, oh, this is interesting. I'm meant to be writing a book, and here I am eating an ice lolly in the garden. How did I get here, as it were? And what happened was the next time he noticed it, just as he was taking the wrapper off the ice lolly, I thought, oh, look, this has happened again, hasn't it? You know. And gradually he was kind of traced it back. You know, he kind of, when he got to the, you know, the next time he caught it, say, when he got to the freezer, the next time he caught it, sort of halfway there. And he realised what was happening was that he was sitting there working and he was getting stuck, as it were, and he was finding being stuck painful. And so a bit of him was kind of going, oh, I don't like this, this is uncomfortable, I'll go and do some pleasure. Oh, there's some ice creams, aren't there, you know. But it took him a number of goes to kind of work back to that point of catching what his experience was early enough, yeah? So you'll have had this experience in terms of the, oh my God, I wish I hadn't said that. Yeah, you've sort of, you're in a communication with somebody, they say something, you say something back, and you kind of got it three quarters of the way out, and you just think, oh, I've really blown it, haven't I? Yeah? Nobody's familiar with that one at all. Never done that one, yeah? So what tends to happen, what you have to do is you have to sort of start working back with that, so you get sort of halfway through saying it, and you just sort of go, no, I don't think I want to say that, and you go somewhere else with it, you know, or you start to catch it just as you're kind of bridling up, yeah? So we're generally, because our habits are so strong and the tendencies are going so quickly, as it were, and because we don't have a sufficient level of awareness, we're not often working at this gap between feeling and craving. Yeah? Most of the time we're working at the gap between, we're working back to it from, you know, grasping and pushing, as it were. Yeah, from between craving and grasping. Does that make sense to people? Because can you relate that to your experience? Yeah, because that's because if you don't remember anything else from this evening, that's the important part of the teaching in the 12 Nidanas. Yeah, it doesn't really matter if you don't remember any of the rest of it, other than the fact that this is where you've got choice. Yeah, and if you don't exercise choice, you're living your life as an automaton, and that sucks big time. Yeah? Nobody wants to live their life on autopilot, do they? I think that's the most straightforward way of thinking about it, yeah. Yeah. We are just a bundle of habits, in a way. And what we're doing, in a way, to start off with, what we're doing is we're trying to replace some unhelpful habits with more helpful habits. Yeah. We've developed habits, and they're good reasons why we've developed habits, given what our life experience has been. They're reasonably effective habits, on the whole, yeah. You know, you come across people who've got really, really ineffective habits, don't you, occasionally, and it's a bit weird. They're a bit weird, yeah? Their habits for getting by in life don't work very well, yeah? And what we're trying to do is fine-tune, choose better and better, successively, smarter and smarter habits, as it were.
Actually, then the helpful habits can then become automatic.
In a way, yeah. And but the thing is that what you're always doing is you can always work to improve those more and more, so that instead of having habits of selfishness, we're gradually developing habits of greater and greater other regardingness, greater and greater generosity. Yeah, instead of having habits of
I don't know. You can work on other things, and then those things become automatic, and you can work on other.
Because it's a continuum. You know, it's not binary. This, yeah, it's not. We're either kind or we're unkind. What you're working towards is being progressively more and more kind, yeah? So you're trying to move your baseline all the time, move your baseline up. What?
Being a parent and a child, and sort of being
What I think there's a great, it's interesting you mentioned the parent child, because I think that's quite a good way of illustrating the sort of attitude we have to have to ourselves in kinds of, in terms of the nature of our internal communication. Yeah. People often talk to themselves in a way that they wouldn't dream of talking to anybody else. Yeah, the example I often give is of a friend of mine who was pouring some tea and spilt the tea, and then went off to the kitchen to get the cloth, telling themselves what a stupid, clumsy oaf they were. When I came back, I said, well, hold on, why are you doing this? You wouldn't have done it. If I'd spilt the tea, you'd have thought it was an accident and not minded. So why is it okay to tell yourself what a burk you are for 5 minutes? There's an example that's sometimes given of how you should work with the mind in meditation, and I think it's kind of applies all the way. It's kind of like you should, you know what happens, you sit down, you do, you know, you try and tune in, you try and watch the breath, and your mind goes off, yeah? Yeah? And it does that. That's what minds do. Yeah? And the example is that imagine you have a baby and you're going to, you know, and maybe it's Matthew's baby, and it's going to walk to daddy, yeah, go to daddy, and baby sort of toddler. No, well, not toddler, on all fours, kind of goes off. And you know the sort of attention span small children have, you know, and they kind of do four steps, and then they're off to see, I don't know, Louise or someone over here, you know, and then they don't even get that far because they're then off somewhere else, you know. And you need to be responding to yourself with the same sort of kindness that you'd kind of pick that baby up and just sort of go, no, you're going that way. Yeah, just remember, over there, over to daddy, sort of thing, yeah. So it's kind of a... You're clear about what your intention is, yeah. You're setting boundaries in a fairly straightforward way. But there's a sensitivity. It's not harsh, yeah. You wouldn't shout at a baby for going the wrong way because it would be pointless, you know. There's not much point, you know. Certainly, you're sitting there doing the metta bath and saying, "Oh, you stupid Burke, you're not sending love to people again," you know. It's not unknown. Yeah, you don't want to be a tyrant to yourself. But you do have to be disciplined. You do have to set boundaries with yourself. And that takes a lot of learning for us. I think in our society it takes an awful lot of learning. This kind of communicating kindly but clearly to oneself. I think it takes a lot of training.